Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braddon. Late as hell. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, Cousin Shane. He was 20 minutes early today. How you doing, buddy?
Can't even hang out in the comments because Mike didn't even get it started. Oh, my gosh. Hey, I'll say what, brother. I am pumped up. We got the mailbag show, one of my favorites. We got media days. I mean, I'm going to be coming down there to see you Sunday. You know, I'm pumped up. I'm excited. We're going to see a lot of people I haven't got to see in a long time. Hell, some of them since last year. And, yeah, it's that time. It just feels like when you go to media days, it's on, man. It's college football time, baby.
Yeah, and I asked Shane. I said, hey, you want to do Kentucky preview? Or you want to do mailbag? He said, mailbag yep. It is.
new rule. We're doing 14 teams. And if you suck, you get relegated. So I'm sorry, Kentucky. I'm sorry, Mississippi State. Do better. We'll include you next year.
Maybe we'll do Kentucky and Mississippi State in one show.
Yeah, maybe we will. Maybe we won't. I don't know.
I know what we will do, Shade.
What will we do?
We're going to celebrate Cousin JR, because even when we don't show up, or at least I don't show up on time, Cousin JR does. Let me play his little jingle, because he's earned it. Da-da-da.
The legend, Cousin JR, has done it again.
This time, JR has blessed Aaron Joseph. Aaron, welcome to the family. Courtesy of the legend, JR.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Stephen Up. He just woke up.
Stephen Up, he's feeling some SEC Media Days love.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll
Stephen Up. This time he has blessed Shane Heartbroken Hogue. Welcome to the family. Courtesy of Stephen Up. We appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah.
Man, I don't know who to poop for there when Bama and Georgia play, because we got Stephen Up. We got JR.
I'm torn. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, I was thinking about that Vanderbilt that popped back up, and I thought you were playing with me, because that was the first thing that popped up around the ring. I was like, damn, we are doing 2 days of Vanderbilt.
Well, here's the deal, Shane. I mean, again, true story. Why was I late? I'll tell you. Well, I've had some meetings today. I've had some appearances, radio stuff. But these team previews legitimately take me about 7 hours to get ready. And I didn't have to do that today. So I forgot to do all the show prep, aside from writing down the questions and having answers for the mailbag. So that's on me. I logged on and I said, hell, I didn't even see all this stuff, SEC mailbag. I have to do that every day. But that's boring stuff. I want to shout out Shane Cousin Sip. He has come through again. Cousin Sip's he's the one, Shane, that sent us the JR Bell. So we're thankful for that. The Sven Bell. And we got a couple more. He's donated for Cousin Rick. We got an A&M cowbell.
Hell yeah.
Thanks to Cousin Sip. We've got a, speaking of Stephen Up, we got a Stephen Up Bama cowbell. Thanks to Cousin Sip. We got Ole Miss Hottie. I've never seen an Ole Miss cowbell, but we got it, Shane. Here for Cousin Tim with the broken egg. And then last but certainly not least, we got a Gators, Shane. For Cousin Liquid Flames, aka Cousin Dustin. So those are going to be proudly displayed here on the set for as long as we have it. So we appreciate you, Cousin Sip.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, and if you guys ever want to, you said, hey, somebody got on to me earlier. They said, oh, you guys, Tennessee, Mizzou. I was like, man, I'll put anything up there. I mean, to an extent. You know what I'm saying? Send it to us, and you can be part of the show. Absolutely.
Yeah,
hell, so, it's my birthday Saturday, Mike. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. So if you want to send some birthday stuff, put it up here, and we'll put it up behind us.
There you go. I mean, good Lord, I can't imagine the food that's headed your way now.
If you want to send some little Debbie's, just, you know, celebrate 74 pounds I'm down, absolutely.
And, hey, so I do, we got a little show announcement. So this will be our final live show until SEC Media Days, but We got a great one coming up. It's going to drop this weekend, probably Saturday. When Shane and I got together and did the quarterback rankings, we also recorded another podcast, my official SEC Media Days ballot. So be on the lookout for that. That's going to be dropping. I got to put that together. And so we'll give you guys some extra content because we won't be able to go Sunday because we'll be traveling. So yes. There will be a podcast for you guys. And Shane,
Stephen
up. He just gave us $50. I'm going to play his jingle again.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen up. Roll
Hell
time.
Yeah.
Shout out, Stephen up. Shout out to Mr. Sip for the cowbell and a little something for the trip to the ATL. We appreciate you, Stephen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I saw somebody put on there, said Shane's going to eat 74 pounds of cake Saturday.
Hey, shout out Malcolm. Shane, I told you doing a Vanderbilt preview would pay off. We got a cousin donated, so we appreciate you, Malcolm. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Everybody's welcome here, Shane, even Vanderbilt fans. You know what?
Yes, absolutely. And just a quick reminder. So the show will be a little bit different next week. We will be going live from Music Row. So the show will be dictated on basically what we heard that day. But we will give you a recap at the end of every day. And of course, as soon as we get the interviews cleaned and prepped, we'll be putting those out as well. So that's why the notifications are important. That's why the thumbs up always helps, keeps you alert, keeps you abreast, as the smart people say. And then whenever that happens, you guys will be notified.
Hey, happy birthday too to cousin Benny. Hey, that's his dad, or excuse me, his dad. His dad's birthday, same day as you, Shane.
Son? No, just kidding.
And then check out this comment, Shane, from cousin. Where was it? Cousin Kyle. He says that cake is in trouble.
In trouble, boys.
And there was one more. It was pretty awesome. Where was it? Cousin Sven. Cousin Shane, I send you 3 pounds of cinnamon if you talk bad about Mississippi State. And it was Cousin Rick. I can't find it, but Cousin Rick wants to know, Shane, is it legal to mail someone Little Debbie's across state lines?
Yes. Yeah. I believe so. I believe so.
All right. So are you ready to get into SEC Media Days mailbag?
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
All right, first question, and as always, official cousins always get their questions answered on the YouTube, so here's one, Shane, from Cousin Bulldog, Mississippi. Will Cousin Mike and Cousin Shane meet up with Paul Feinbaum down there in Media Days? So I don't officially know, but I hope so. I mean, we'll certainly see him down there, and who knows? We may be on the show. He may be coming on our show. But I don't really have an official answer.
Yeah, I think he unblocks us the week of, you know, and then then he blocks us again. I mean, odds are we're going to see Paul. That's one thing you see everybody. You see all kinds of personalities running around. I'm sure Paul will come over to the table and we'll try to work something out. But he's a busy man. But definitely, I would imagine we'll get on there for about 2 minutes before Nick Saban shows up again.
I don't think Saban's coming to this one, is what I've been told. But yeah, to your point, really? I always feel bad for Paul, because it's like at that thing. I mean, I get grabbed by, and Shane obviously is like a super celebrity down there. But I mean, every 5 feet, someone's asking Paul to do their show. You know what I mean? So the guy's bombarded for 4 days. So I couldn't imagine. But hey, shout out Cousin Malcolm, Shane. He's the one that just became a member. I watch almost every day. Finally, an official cousin after the Vandy preview.
Yeah.
Anchored down. And thanks, guys. Thank you, Cousin Malcolm. We appreciate you, Malcolm.
I'll try to be nicer. I apologize, Malcolm. Now that I know you're in here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What the hell?
All right. We're going to win seven games. Seven games.
All right, next we got Cousin Carter B. Huff. He's an official member. Members always get their question answered, Shane, on the YouTubes. How much do you think we will hear about the potential of a 9-game SEC schedule next week during Media Days in Atlanta? I don't know that we're going to actually hear a lot about it, to be honest with you, because that's not the coaches that decide that, even though the coaches are the ones that kind of, you know, get asked about it, and they posture and they politic and all that. It's more the administrators and the presidents, and they're not at media days. So it's, you know, that it's really the spring that that's determined. And it's my understanding that the deadline doesn't mean they're going to wait till the deadline, but the deadline to announce this is late November, early December. They have to come to a conclusion on whether to go to 8 or 9 games, because they have to tell Disney, because Disney's the one televising the game. So it'll come at some point between now and then. I think it'll come in August, but not 100% sure on that one.
It should. It should. I mean, obviously, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but I do think that this probably won't get asked too much. I mean, a lot of that was the buildup for the coaches down there, and then we saw what happened there. Nothing came to fruition. So they'll be the same old. I would imagine the coaches are going to get up there, and a good 40% of it's going to be them talking rules, NIL, transfer portal, you know, pay to play, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be the kind of the same of that. I think a lot of them will get
asked about it, though. I think they will. Like, someone will do a tally, you know, of like, hey, Coach Kiffin, you want 8 or 9? Coach Smart, you want 8 or 9? I bet somebody does a tally or something.
You think so?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, maybe. It just seems like we've asked them that the last 2 years, though. But you may be right. Absolutely.
Here's one from Cousin Kenny. Shane, member for 2 months. Appreciate you, Kenny. I thought you meant Cousin Kenny. How much will Nico be crying after Joey Aguilar kicks ass this season, Shane? I think he'll be crying a lot, especially if he tanks his draft stock down there in UCLA, don't you think?
Well, I tell you what, if he's not upset, I mean, I feel upset about the whole situation, but, you know, the parents, and I don't know if the parents learned, you know, I feel like it'll be a woe is me. That could be us, but no, I'm excited for the next chapter here. And I've kind of bought into Aguilar, so I'm looking forward to it, man. And I guarantee you, I'm going to remind his whole family every week, every time he puts up superb stats, you know?
Yeah. All right. How about this one, Shane, from Be Creepy? He's been he's an official cousin. He's been a member for a long time. We appreciate you, Be Creepy. It's a great one. It's right up your alley. What are y'all's top 4 teams, Shane, that can make the SEC championship this season and possibly the college football playoff?
Oh, I think this is. Top 4 is tough because I think this is going to be a deeper run. I could, like I told you the other day, we could make an argument for 7, but you asked for 4. So I'll give you Texas, Georgia, not in any order, Alabama, and LSU. Those are my 4.
Well, I think that's going to be the consensus of the 4. I wouldn't throw LSU in there. I'm saying A&M. But look at it this way too, Shay, because I knew you were going to say that. Just because we talk about this all day, every day. And I think vast majority of people, you know, maybe you'll have a sleeper in there like I'm trying to do with A&M. But look at it this way, Shane. Alabama, you mentioned them, right?
Yeah.
They play at Georgia. I'll just throw up the schedule. But they play at Georgia. They play LSU, who you just mentioned. They play Tennessee, who's beating them 2 out of 3. They play South Carolina, who they barely beat, and it's at South Carolina. And South Carolina may have the best quarterback in the conference. They play at Missouri, who you're very high on, and they play at Auburn. So, I mean, there's a ton of landmines. It ain't going to be easy. And again, I'm doing this for all the teams. Georgia, yes. Are they one of the best? Do they almost always get there? Or, well, hell, they have. Well, not every year, but damn near every year. They play Texas. They play Bama. You know, I mean, this is not going to be easy for them. Ole Miss whooped them last year. They play at Tennessee. I think Florida's going to be really good. Texas, you know, they got to, again, people mock their schedule, but they play at Ohio State. Yeah. That's a coin toss week one. I don't care what anybody says. I would lean Texas, but that doesn't mean they're going to win. They play at Florida. That's their first conference game. I think that's the toughest place to play in the conference right now. A&M, at Georgia, Oklahoma. I mean, just because we all assume these are the teams,
yeah,
that doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? And again, we're always wrong. LSU at Clemson, at Ole Miss, at Alabama, at Oklahoma. I mean, these are some damn good teams. Yeah. And if one goes, just one, Shane, it don't matter if it's like the Florida game, the South Carolina game, the A&M, Ole Miss, one goes the opposite way of what we all think it's going, that they're probably not making it.
Yeah.
And that goes, I'm not picking on LSU. I'm saying for all these teams, it goes that way. So I think the margin for error is very, very small.
Yeah. And again, we look at these teams and we predict how good they're going to be. We don't know how bad some of these teams are going to be. So yeah, there's a lot of chaos going to be happening in 2025. And I just think there's an argument, like I said, to be made. There's four other teams that I didn't even mention. I mean, you talked Florida, Tennessee, Ole Miss.
Well, I was going to ask you that.
Oklahoma, so
that wasn't part of his question, but if you had to pick two or three dark horse, I don't know, whatever you want to call them, but maybe just on the fringe that exactly what I just said, but the opposite. Maybe Mizzou wins this game. Maybe Tennessee wins this game. I just gave away two of them. Well, what are two or three teams maybe that you're not saying they're going to make the playoff?
Yeah,
but they could, and you're close to maybe picking them for playoff. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, and all three of these are related because of schedule. I feel like just get to the dance, you have to have an easier road. There's tough roads. There's some tough, I mean, you talk about your Florida Gators, I think they may have the toughest road to a college football playoff, but you look at Tennessee's schedule, you look at Mizzou's schedule, you look at Ole Miss' schedule. Those are the three that I would be leaning toward, not so much for winning a national championship, but making the dance based off scheduling alone.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I was going to say Mizzou.
Yeah.
Tennessee and South Carolina, who, again, I know it's tough, but I'm out here telling you, I think Sellers is the best quarterback, if that's true. And again, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Last year I said Brady Cook, best quarterback. But if Sellers is the best, you know, I don't know. I don't know how many games they're losing, but probably not many.
Yeah. No, not many. Not many at all. I mean, and you know, some people think LSU isn't going to be that good, you know?
Right.
I'm not one of them, but if that's the case, then all of a sudden that LSU game didn't look as tough. It's not just an easy loss. Ole Miss, another one. We're so used to Lane Kiffin winning 9-10 games a year, but what if he doesn't? Then all of a sudden, yeah, South Carolina may have that one. So I don't know, brother. This is going to be such a up and down season, and that's why I was telling you I was excited about this year. Not so much because of the college football playoff teams. It's just because the teams that we're not mentioning still are going to be competitive every single Saturday, and they're going to ruin it for a lot of these SEC programs. So I'm just pumped up about each Saturday matchup.
Hey, how about this comment? Hopefully I didn't miss it. Cousin Cameron, only way Florida goes to the playoff is they get tickets.
Oh, damn, off the top rope. I love it.
All right, how about this? Partner. This is a great one, Shade. And I got a long list here. Yeah. Shout out Suze. I'm going to butcher this. Mabachi. Hope that's not a curse word, but she's a Florida fan. I could tell, Shane.
Yeah.
But besides DJ Lagway, who could be the breakout player on offense and defense this year? And she said mine would be Jaden Ball, Florida's running back, or Miles Graham, Florida linebacker. So again, she said don't even count DJ. So she's got three Gators. So that's why I'm assuming she's a Gator. But so I got a couple here for offense and defense. You want to hear my list, and then maybe there's some that maybe I missed that you would add. So for offense, I went a little receiver crazy. I apologize, but I'm going to go Texas A&M, Casey Concepcion, transfer from NC State. Given that what A&M lost at receiver, I think they're going to really need someone to step up. And so I think it's a Casey Concepcion, Texas. I've already been high on this guy, Shane. One of my bold predictions was he leads the SEC in receiving yards. Give me Ryan Wingo, the sophomore receiver. This one's for you, buddy. Tennessee receiver Mike Matthews.
Yeah. Remember
our buddy Rusty Manziel said, buddy, you got to watch out for this Mike Matthews kid. So this is the year. There's, you know, he's got to lead the way at the receiving corps for Tennessee. So Mike Matthews, I got my eye on. South Carolina receiver Mazio Bennett. That's no shade at Nick Harbor. Everybody loves Nick Harbor. I like him too. But Mazio Bennett showed me something as a true freshman. Year two, I think he's gonna shine. And then this one's for Sue's, Shane, Florida, true freshman receiver, Dallas Wilson. So those are the guys I got on offense. I got a couple more for defense. Are there any breakout players on offense that come to your mind that I may have missed?
Well, I mean, you've mentioned him before. In fact, you said he'll probably be leading the country in rushing at the end of the day. So this is a name that if you're outside of Columbia, you probably haven't heard of, but this is a guy everyone will know at the end of the year. But I think Hardy has a big season. I think LSU, when you look at mainly what Nuss did last year, and now he's got a couple of new weapons, you can almost pick some of those guys to just pop off. There's something about my boy Brown. I feel like he's been cooking so long.
You've been waiting for this guy to break out for 4 years.
I'm going to make it happen because it's not only going to be special teams, but I do think they're going to find ways to get this kid the football. And you know, honestly, he hasn't had the best quarterback throwing to him, over the last couple of seasons. So I'm looking forward to kind of the ceiling that he provides with LSU because he will be free. You know, he's not going to have two people on him. It's going to be him. And I feel like with that space, there's going to be some magical things happening.
Yeah, he's going to break out some drops. Okay, breakout defensive players, Shane. Two on the same team. You're Mizzou team here. Damian Wilson, the transfer from Georgia, five-star. He's going to play an edge defensive end. And then former Georgia transfer got banged up last year. He was on pace to have a big impact. Darius Smith. So I got two Mizzou edge defenders here. I think they're going to have a field day with this defense. Damian Wilson, Darius Smith, LSU true freshman core. Maybe we're getting back to DBU, Shane. DJ Pickett, name to know. Again, true freshman, five-star. Ole Miss defensive end. Deshaun Womack, transfer from LSU. I think he could break out. And then Tennessee defensive lineman, another one for you, Shane. Davin Hobbs here. I think it's his time to shine with some of the transition. Tennessee's still bringing back a lot on the defensive line, but I think it's Hobbs' time to step up and show he's a star.
Yeah, I like those, man. Absolutely like those. I saw an interesting one in the comments section, and because he had a great first year, we kind of haven't heard from him in a while, but Perkins, you know, everybody's wanting to talk about everybody. I mean, people still talk about Perkins, but this is a guy that's been poised for another breakout season or that sophomore season we never got to see. Maybe he finds it this year.
Yeah, that's another good one. Ooh. All right. How about this question, Shane, from Colin Moore Magic?
Yeah,
I believe he's a table maker. I think he told us that once. why does Shane Beamer in South Carolina get the benefit of the doubt from last season's 9-3 and praise, but Ole Miss and Kiffin are frauds and didn't deserve it? I don't think we ever said that. I don't know if he's talking about us or not. Ole Miss beat Georgia 28-10, and oh yeah, Ole Miss beat South Carolina 27-3. So why does South Carolina get the praise, but Ole Miss doesn't? Still love the show. So. This I thought this was an interesting question, Shane, but I don't know how any Ole Miss fan can sit here and say, yeah, we had 20 guys go to the NFL. We had a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
And we're happy with Last Dance, losing to Kentucky, who's god awful, losing to Florida with your coaches 10 times better than Billy Napier. Florida fans will tell you that. The only loss I think is excusable is LSU. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, spending all that money, and again, I'm not sitting here saying they were awful. You're right. You kicked Georgia's ass, but that is an indictment more than anything else. I don't think we got a damn banner that we beat Georgia. Is that what we're playing for in Oxford? I thought we were playing to make the college football playoff. It was a fail. It was a pass or a fail, and they failed in that regard. Yeah. Is that harsh or is it? I think that's the reality.
Man, I like it. Mike's already fired up. We ain't even got to Atlanta yet. No, I think you make a good point, and it's mainly because of where they started and how they ended. Ole Miss had high expectations coming into the season. We dubbed it the Last Dance. We watched them go out here and pillage SEC programs to build this roster, and the expectations were high. And started off with four cupcake teams, and, you know, we were running. And then all of a sudden we weren't. Kentucky, like you said, Florida late in the year. These are games that were inexcusable, and because the expectations all along were playoffs. South Carolina, if I would have told you they were a playoff team this time last year, you would say, well, you're such a homer. You're such an idiot, Shane. You know, there would have been a few of us that, you know, probably Gamecock fans, maybe somebody that really likes Sellers would say, yeah, I could see it, but they didn't have the same expectations coming into to week one that Ole Miss had. So, yeah, I kind of understand the question, but for me, one was disappointing and one just fell short of a superb season, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, I could be wrong, but I believe the over-under for South Carolina last year was like 5.5. So, again, yeah, it goes back to what you just said. It's about expectations. I mean, Ole Miss got no excuse. Mm-hmm. Cousin Robert, shout out Cousin Robert. He's a big Ole Miss guy. He says Ole Miss should have been undefeated. Yep. And Haley's right. I mean, no, again, no excuse losing to Kentucky. LSU, you literally, again, that's a tough, I'm not saying that's a bad loss. You literally led the game the entire way. LSU's first lead was in overtime, and it literally won them the game. So you had that one in your grasp the entire time. And then the Florida one is inexcusable. And this is coming from someone who thinks Florida was much improved last year. But meanwhile, South Carolina, they look like dog shit week one.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the year, they were the hottest damn team in the conference. I can't square the two of why you'd ask, you know, why is one team getting praised when the other one's getting destroyed? Because one has progressed and one failed to meet expectations.
You sit in that damn corner and you think about that question you just sent in to SEC Mike on then, Thursday.
And then this is funny, shout out Cousin Chance here. He's an official cousin. Uh-huh. This is SEC fandom right here. We're all biased towards our team, right?
Yeah.
So here's Cousin Chance. I just read that one from shout out Cousin Colin Moore. But we do appreciate the question. Cousin Chance, then he followed it up immediately. Why is everybody sleeping on South Carolina? Why don't they get the benefit of replacing draft picks like Ole Miss? So, I mean, it's all through the lens of how you're looking at it, right?
Yeah.
So he's saying everybody's sleeping on my damn Gamecocks here. So I don't know that we are, but I think that is a legitimate question for South Carolina, at least when we look at what they are this year, replacing four top 40 draft picks. Yeah. I mean, that just ain't easy. And I think if you're South Carolina, you're looking at it like, thank goodness. I mean, this is not super easy, but Virginia Tech, South Carolina State, I think that's to your advantage that you're playing these teams early, as opposed to, you know, if you, I know they never play Clemson week one, but if you're playing Clemson week one, if you're playing Missouri week two, if you're playing LSU week three, I mean, this is a gauntlet here, but the schedule at least sets up to where if it takes you a week or two to find the correct pieces to replace those great players you lost, at least the schedule lines up for you. And I don't know. I just thought it was hilarious how those questions came back to back.
Man, we're all undefeated right now, Mike. You know?
All right. How about this one, Shane? Now, this is a deep one. Yeah. Deep one. I put this as the headline for a reason. Shout out Ole Mace.
Yeah.
Big Ole Miss fan. What's your most memorable game for each SEC team?
Oh, so shit. Ever? You know,
I mean, I mean, that's kind of where he's going here. Ever, I guess, but, and it doesn't have to, it doesn't say it has to be a win. You know, it could be literally anyone that you want to think of. So I have one for each. Give you some time to think about it, because I think you will agree with some of mine.
Yeah.
And I think you'll come to your own. So maybe it might be too hard for you to come up with 16 off the top of your head, but
we'll go in order. In fact, the first two teams probably may be the same game. So
yeah. Alabama.
Yeah.
Kick six.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So kick six for Auburn and Alabama, no doubt. I mean, that's, you know, the guy, yeah. I'd love the Alabama fan. I'd love to get that guy. Just know where he is today and interview him. I didn't want to troll Alabama too hard, though. But so I have an alternative for him. That, remember the second 26 Tua national championship over Georgia. They benched Jalen Hurts at halftime. That's a close. I don't know about close because kick six. I don't know. We'll literally ever see something like that again. But Bama's they've had more highlights than anybody. You know what?
Here's another one. Alabama, Tennessee. Lane Kiffin goes down there, and that fat bastard gets up there and blocks yet another field goal. So, I mean, the guy's got the same vertical I do, yet somehow he managed to get up there and block that thing. But that was a heartbreaker, and Alabama had a lot of really, really good football games. But you're asking which one stood out to me, and it's without a doubt the pick six or the kick six.
Yeah. Hey, shout out, Shane. Cousin Joshua.
Oh, he says, come on,
Bo Prabula's going to wreck all the preseason hater narratives. The kid can ball. M-I-Z. Appreciate you, Cousin Joshua.
I think he could, man. This is a kid. You talk about breakout. I didn't want to get too homer because I already picked one, but that's another one. No, everybody's sleeping on him, including Mike. And, you know, quarterback rankings, we know how that shakes out sometimes. Sometimes Mike's way off, and this may be one of those situations.
I don't think I've ever been wrong. Okay, and then Cousin Rick, the legend, Shane.
Thank you, Cuz.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick. Gig'em, Aggies.
Thank you, Cousin Rick. Last pocket money for media days. Thanks to Cousin Sip. We appreciate you, Cousin Rick. Yeah.
Thank you, Cuz. Appreciate it, man.
All right, so back to most memorable game, Shane. How about
Cracker this? Barrel? I'm already thinking about the order.
All right, for Arkansas, I got two.
Yeah,
and I swear I don't have two for everyone, but beating Ole Miss, I believe it was 2014 with the Henry Heave.
Oh, damn! You're still in all mine. Yeah,
and what people forget in that Henry Heave, Shane, they had to go for two for the win, if memory serves. They didn't get it the first time, but what happened? Yeah. Ole Miss face masked Brandon Allen. So Arkansas got another opportunity. They score the two. They win the game. That's there. And then on a more negative side, the Sterner fumble. I mean, when I think of Arkansas, I think of that. I mean, I was at that game, and it was just I still can't believe he dropped that ball.
No, and I swear, I think this is exactly what's on my list. And honestly, if you're going on the other side, I've mentioned it several times, was the punt return with Bobby P was a coach there. That was, I still cannot believe, it's almost like Tennessee had money on that game or something. They had 15 guys on the football field and could not tackle that dude. So yeah, there's been a lot of good ones, but those are the ones that really stand out. The Hunters, the Heave was the one of the craziest ones. And if you rewatch that game, man, it's you talk about a roller coaster of emotions. Many, many times I thought Arkansas was going to lose that damn thing.
Yeah. And shout out to Hog Fan Thor. He said that was 2015. Another thing, which also a special place in my heart, Shane, because of that game, Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss did not win the West. So if not for the Henry Heave, Ole Miss would have won the West that year.
That's more, you know.
All right. How about Florida, Shane? I would imagine there's a lot that comes to mind. I think I know the series you're probably going to be thinking of. I don't, maybe the walk and everything. But for me, what I believe was 2015, beating Tennessee, Antonio Callaway, 63-yard touchdown with a minute 26. Tennessee, I think they led most of the game and controlled it. I mean, all they really had to do, and I think it was like fourth and forever when that happened. I mean, it was just the most Florida-Tennessee ending I've literally ever seen. Florida gets the win, and man, talk about a heartbreaker.
Is that the one that was like fourth and 23 or something crazy like that?
Yeah, and every defensive back took an angle like you would on the video game, and he just ran past everybody. And then I believe right after that they said, oh, yeah, the quarterback was on steroids. He's ineligible. Well, what about the game? He just whooped Tennessee's ass. No, that counts.
Let's send him to West Virginia to whoop their ass next year, you know? Yeah. Oh man, geez, that takes me back. I mean, I could pick any of those. The Franks Hail Mary, that was another one that was just like, oh my, I can't believe. Now on the good side, I remember just posted this one, the Will Hoyt. Remember when he missed the extra point? This back in the former days, and missed an extra point, got a redemption shot, 50-yard field goal. Man, you talk about cloud nine. Kids, I mean, you were too young probably, but man, what a freaking game that one was as well.
That's your most memorable Florida game, not Tennessee. We're not doing Tennessee here.
I'm just telling you what I remember. Okay. I gave you two that they did. The fourth and whatever, they scored and beat Tennessee. And then they had
That was mine.
I told you the Franks Hail Mary.
Oh, yeah, that one.
How many Floridas I got to have?
It's basically every Florida-Tennessee game. You know what?
The shoe toss, you want me to bring that one up? The fourth down over at LSU, I can bring that one up.
How about Georgia? What's the most memorable game for Georgia? I went with, I don't know why this stands out. Again, this is, you know, it could be whatever you want. What actually stands out to you when you think of Florida or Georgia or any of these teams? For me, I believe it was 2007 when they scored a touchdown against Florida. Mm-hmm. Remember the entire team ran celebrated. Onto the field and celebrated. And I believe I was at your apartment there. What was that little apartment you had? We were watching that game. So I don't know why, but to me, that's always stood out. That's burned into my memory.
That was a good one. That was a good one. But I'm going to go one that crushed me, man. I was there. It was the, what do they call it? Dobnail? Not Dobnail. The knob. How do you say that? You know what I'm saying? The whatever is, you know, hobnail boot. Yeah, that was it. So Tennessee, Georgia, I went to this game. I was hung over. Oh my God, I was hung over. And we were supposed to win. It's supposed to be an easy one. We just go down here and kick Georgia's ass. That's what we're supposed to do. And it didn't happen that way. They kept hanging out. And then Tennessee gets the lead. They do this stupid squib kick that goes like 20 yards. And within seconds, man, Georgia's in the end zone dancing and screaming and yelling. And and I tell you what, that was about the time frame with who let the dogs out. Oh, my gosh. I thought there was like 10 Georgia fans when this happened. Then it felt like half the stadium was Georgia fans. I heard that on the way out. That was the worst experience I've ever felt, man. That was a terrible game.
Hey, shout out Cousin Glenn Warshaw. Shane, he gave us $5. Enjoy the shows from Media Thank Days you. Last year. Glad you're doing these again. Boomer Sooner. And then we got another good one here, Shane, from Cousin Gregory. We appreciate you. Cousin Gregory Grogan, $5. Love seeing Cousin Shane on Power Mizzou. Mine was either 2003 Brad Smith versus Nebraska or 2007 versus Little KU. But as SEC 2013, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
So we'll get to them in a second. How about Kentucky? What's a standout for Kentucky?
Two, I'll give you two. One good, one bad. The good one was going down to Florida, getting the first win in 30-something years. That was a massive one. I remember what's his name throwing a 50-something yard bomb. I mean, it was just a great game. And then on the opposite side was the miracle LSU
Bluegrass miracle.
Yeah, they screwed that one up. I love the situation. I loved everybody involved. I mean, Jared Lorenzen, the hefty lefty. And there was just some terrible time management at the end. They left LSU enough time and still blows my mind how that one got pulled off. That's an old Jefferson Pilot Sports favorite right there.
Yeah, I think those were right where I was going to go, but I'll give you a third one. You remember the bowl game where they didn't have a quarterback? They had to put Lynn Bowden back there. He was just like all-time Wildcat quarterback. And they beat Virginia Tech.
Yes.
You know, there was a fight before the game, I believe. A little trivia for you, Shane. Do you remember who was the quarterback?
Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, Virginia Tech. Last time he lost to Kentucky.
I wasn't going to say anything till the end. I was like, oh, sweet. Opportunity to see Hendon Hooker here.
All right, how about LSU? Favorite? Not favorite, but just most memorable. I got a couple here, good and bad. 2019, basically the entire season, Shane. I mean, it was a whirlwind, but beating Alabama in Tuscaloosa, that was the first time I think President Trump went to one of these colleges. I mean, it was like a Super Bowl of college. I mean, that was just insane. They whooped Georgia in the SEC championship, unlike basically any team during Kirby's time. They absolutely hammered Oklahoma. I think they were up 50 points on Oklahoma at halftime.
Yeah.
And then Clemson had a hell of a team, and they whooped them. So that, I know that's cheating because that's like 10 games there, but that entire thing was special and even more memorable the year before, Shane. Remember, they lost to Alabama 29-0. That was the infamous, there was a girl in the crowd, and they zoomed in on her, and she was just shaking her head.
Yeah.
And that was the moment Ed Orgeron after the game said, "We're coming. We're coming. And we ain't backing down." And he was right. You know what?
a lot of good ones, man. I think about, I keep going back to Tennessee. Why do I keep doing that? Because I was watching them. But say what you want. The Tennessee LSU matchup, SEC Championship 2001, that one was one Tennessee should have won, but somehow they didn't. You know what I'm saying? That was a big one because it just really wrecked the BCS. Nobody wanted to play Miami. I don't think that was the case. But another one that really stood out besides the miracle up in Kentucky is probably just some of the Florida matchups. You know what I'm saying? I mentioned the shoe toss and everything. There's been some really, really good games. I would probably say, hell, one of those two would have been fine as well.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out to Horton Hears You, Shane.
Apparently, Horton couldn't hear you, so he's gifting you a membership.
Horton Hears You, Shane, has gifted Stephen L. Stephen,
welcome to the family.
Courtesy.
Thank you, Horton.
Horton Hears You. We appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah.
All right, Shane. So, how about Oklahoma? You got a favorite? For Oklahoma, this ain't going to be your favorite, Shane, but when I think of Oklahoma, I think of 2015 coming to Neyland Stadium. What a sight that was. Baker Mayfield. Yeah. That was like the legend of Baker Mayfield was born that day, won in overtime. Butch Jones didn't want to go for it on fourth and inches from the goal line. Should have fired him that day. But I don't know. That was like my first. Of course, I knew about Oklahoma before that, but that was my first time watching him in action. That's kind of burned into my memory, too.
Well, you don't realize how special someone is until you like see them firsthand. And you're right. That whole Baker Mayfield thing, I never got until I saw it. And I was like, damn, you know, and to this day, I still see him. There's a little bit of me that just absolutely hates that bastard, but they did it. They ripped the hearts out of us here in Knoxville. I'd be lying if I said, I mean, you could think about the time we went over there and they stripped the field. That was another one that kind of stood out to me. But, pick a national championship team as well. There's been a lot of great games for Oklahoma, but those are a little bit more personal to me.
How about Ole Miss, Shane? Again, there's been many memories.
Yeah.
I love the Egg Bowls, and I'm sticking with that. Elijah Moore doing the dog pee in the end zone.
Oh, that's a good one.
The coaching staff got fired, and I mean, that's – it's kind of sad that rivalry has died down because it may have been the best at the time in the conference, but that was kind of the pinnacle of that.
Again, I'm just picking teams. You remember when Dexter McCluster had 5,000 yards against Tennessee? That was a game I can remember. I'm trying to think of another one. I felt like the Georgia game last year. That's pretty special. I think we'll look back at that one several years from now and talk about maybe the first time you beat Georgia in a long time. So, those are a couple of good games, but the dog
could have said either one of the back-to-back Alabama wins too.
Oh yeah. What was the pass that went up straight up in the air? Who was it? Kelly. It was Kelly threw that one. Remember
Machine
that one?
Gun Kelly.
Yeah. It felt like that's when you knew Nick Saban over there just say, what the, you know, the cuss cam. That's when that one got invented. So I love that one.
How about Mississippi State? I don't know. I always remember this, Shane, because my first year in the media, I don't even think you can look this up anymore. You can't fact check me, but I used to own the domain SEC Mike.
Yeah.
And I wrote an article, Mississippi State, the team to watch in 2014. They were 40-1 to win the SEC. I put a sizable bet on it. Of course, it didn't happen. But that was the year they rose to number one. Nobody saw that coming. Beating LSU in Baton Rouge, that was kind of like the Dak Prescott welcome game to the America got to know Dak Prescott, who's come on to NFL fame. And then the opener of the 2020 season, first Mike Leach game, threw for like 700 yards, beat the defending national champions. Those two Mississippi State memories, those are my top favorite.
Those are good. That's good. The LSU one for me is the Dak. And for some reason, I can't get the Bearded Traitor helicopter hit out of my head either. That was another fun one for me.
Do you remember who that was even against?
No.
Syracuse.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know why I remember that, but I do. I'm wrong. I think it was Kansas State. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Kansas State. But the fact that I can't even remember, who knows?
Yeah.
All right, how about Mizzou, Shane? Your beloved Mizzou.
Oh, I was there.
It's got to be the game you went to, right?
Yeah, that one. Well, I will never forget that one. Obviously, I forgot the first three quarters, but that last quarter is pretty damn special, and so were the fans that were down there. It was just an awesome, awesome experience all the way around. So that one will always. The other one I would mention, probably their first year in the SEC, they went against, if I'm not mistaken, Texas A&M. Josie had that big run. That was pretty electric, and that's when you kind of knew Mizzou was legit. By God, they were when they first got here in the SEC.
How about this? This may seem like a wild card. That, you know, these things, we live in a time where, like, we don't remember what happened 10 minutes ago. But it wasn't that long ago, Shane. Kansas State, 2023, beat them. Thanks to Harrison Meavis, 61-yard field goal. And why that's memorable to me, I mean, Mizzou fans, they'll tell you they weren't thinking this way, but they were done with drink. They wanted Brady Cook out. They wanted drink out. They were done with all of it. And then you win that game. Everybody believed the whole time. You know what? They've still been believing. So to me, that I don't know, that turned around the entire program.
Yeah, it really did, man. Absolutely.
All right, how about South Carolina? We watched this game together.
Nah.
Whooping Tennessee's ass in 2022, 65 to 30 something. I mean, that was one. And the other one that comes to mind is beating number one Alabama, Stephen Garcia game. Those are kind of the highlights for me.
I would say the Muschamp glass game. You remember that one? They went down there and beat Georgia. There was I can't remember the kid's name. He had three interceptions during that game, but it was not pretty. A lot of missed kicks in that one. That's when we Blankenship. Is that his name?
Rodrigo.
Yeah, Rodrigo. He just could not hit a damn thing down there in South Carolina. Pulled up. So, but I just remember the glasses being the deal. It's like, does Muschamp got his glasses on this week?
Yeah, I mean, they had Jake Bentley at quarterback. They had DeCarrion Joyner play at quarterback. Who was was it the Georgia quarterback that threw all the picks though? Would that would have been Jake Fromm?
It was Fromm. Fromm threw all the picks. Yeah, it was a good one though. Good game.
All right, how about Tennessee? Many to pick from, Shane, but I got two. I bet they're on your list. I watched Tennessee beat number one Alabama at my dad's house, 2022. What a time to be alive. We had box seats to that game. My dad had just had hip surgery, so he couldn't go. Shane had to work, so he couldn't go. So we sat in the living room and watched it, but I wouldn't have it any other way because we got to at least watch it together.
Yes.
That was a wild time.
That's a great game. Well, how awesome was it lighting that cigar up? That 85-year-old cigar.
And then the other one, of course, beating Georgia in 2016, Hail Mary. Yes. What a wild game that was. Jacob Eason for Georgia. I mean, he threw a
brother,
maybe the best pass I've ever seen in my life to get Georgia the lead. It looked like Georgia was going to steal a victory from Tennessee. Then Tennessee turned around and literally just did it to Georgia in Athens. I mean, that was a damn wild game.
That was crazy, crazy wild game. And you're right. They should have won that one. That was what's – it felt like Lady Luck had really kissed Tennessee there for a minute, and everything kind of fell our way. That Juwan Jennings coming down with that touchdown, I still to this day – I mean, up to that point, you also had the Florida game. There were some really special games. And then, of course, Texas A&M. Yeah, they took the wind right out.
I don't even remember that.
Nah, yeah, they cheated and they had 13 players on the field or something. I don't know. I will say this: only other Tennessee, the one that I would mention that you didn't is the Will Hoyt kick. That one was near and dear to me. But also something you said with Arkansas, the fumble. That one again. That was winning a national championship, man, against Florida State. I'll never unsee that.
Well, speaking of, I don't want to give mine away. Texas, Shane, I think we could all agree Arch Manning starting against ULM and lighting their ass up last year.
Is that it?
No, the national champion. It's got to be Vince Young, right? Vince Taking Young, care of Southern Cal and in the Rose Bowl. I just remember all the hype, Shane, ESPN for a damn month debated Southern Cal. Is this the greatest team ever assembled? They were trying to go for three national championships. And then I remember Texas whooped them. And then it was like, well, the first championship, Southern Cal split. So they really only won one championship. It quickly went from three to hell. They really only won one. You know what?
Dude, everybody hated USC. I mean, I felt like everybody was a Texas fan during that game. And it was very nice to see Vince running in for that touchdown. So yeah, that's without a doubt number one on my list.
How about A&M? I going back to Johnny Football. I mean, it was the legend of Johnny Football beating Alabama. To me, that's the most memorable.
Well, the field goal against Bama, that was a good one. Trying to think of what year that was. I can't remember. I'm terrible with years. But you remember they had the sideline. They had the camera on the parents and everything jumping over. So just beating Bama, that's what it's like. Most of this is just, remember when we beat Alabama? That one was special. But Texas A&M, that one, and probably that Tennessee game. That was a barn burner. I was back and forth, and it felt like whoever had the ball last was going to win that game.
Well, speaking of beating Alabama, Vandy. That's it right there, right? First time beating them in 40 years.
Which one?
Last season. Vanderbilt beat
Florida.
Alabama.
Oh, well, God, yeah, it's tough to argue that one. But there was a Vanderbilt-Florida upset. I thought Vanderbilt going up to Kentucky was a big one. I shouldn't say that.
Kentucky.
It was a pretty special game, though. I'll shut up.
All right. How about this one, Shane? We gotta move this along. ABC baseball ops. I love this question. Rank your top five over under bets in the SEC heading into the season. So again, I'm throwing this at Cousin Shane last minute here. So would you like me to do mine first? Yeah.
Yes.
And you could go either direction, over or under. It doesn't have to be all overs, doesn't have to be all unders or anything like that.
Yeah.
Number one, even though Shane hates this team, apparently, I never knew the hate in his heart for them Commodores, but over 4.5 for Vanderbilt. This is my favorite bet of the over unders. I think this is an easy over. Hell, I think we'll get this by late October.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, and then number two for me, Shane. Again, the fact that Shane hates these lets me know they're going to hit. Florida, over 6.5. This is my second favorite. I like the Vanderbilt one a little bit more just because it's a lower number. I think it's more attainable. But Florida, over 6.5 is a lock. I mean, hell, they may get to 6 by October 11th. You know what I mean? I mean, they might sweep all these damn teams. So, Florida, over 6.5 is a lock.
Yeah.
Kentucky, under 4.5 is my number three.
Yeah.
Most favorite. Texas A&M, I'm going to go over 7.5. Hell, even if you want to stick them with Texas 8-4, well, that's more than 7.5. So I feel like pretty confident about that. And then I know you pumped this team up as a playoff team, but I'm going to go Ole Miss under 8.5 would be my fifth most confident over under win total. Do you have any that come to mind for you?
Well, I would say over on Ole Miss. I think very favorable schedule, and we're saying, oh man, they're not returning anybody, but who cares? It's Lane Kiffin. Look at that schedule, man. Look at all them games, dude. They close out the home games.
They couldn't beat Kentucky last
year.
There's
8 wins. So can they beat Kentucky? Can they beat Mississippi State? Man, you better damn believe they're going to hit the over. The other one I've got here, Mike, this team's pretty good. I'm not a huge fan. No, I'm just kidding. I think Tennessee getting over 8.5 is an easy one here. Same thing with the schedule. Win your home games. You know what I'm saying? Win those home games. You're sitting there at 7. Now you got to find 2. You're going to find it against Syracuse, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Florida Gators.
You made it seem like beating Georgia's a lock. Oh, I mean, that's crazy.
Forgot about Georgia there. That doesn't matter. You're going to beat Florida. So okay. those are probably my 2 right there.
Okay. I think that's fair. All right. How about this one, Shane, from Jesse Thompson?
Mm-hmm.
Start, bench, cut. You got to do Arch Manning, Lenore Sellers, DJ Lagway. Start, bench, cut. I'm starting Sellers.
Yep, I'm benching Arch.
I'm benching Arch because he's used to riding the pine. I think he's well suited there. And then I'm cutting DJ Lagway. So we're in total agreement there.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's it. That was easy.
That was an easy one.
All right, cousin Noah, Shane. Uh-huh. He's got a great handle on Twitter, Darth Vall. If I guarantee you that Joey Aguilar is a top 6 SEC quarterback, how far can them Vols go? Again, if I guarantee you Joey Aguilar is top 6, I don't know why he's being so specific and not top 5, but top 6, he says, Shane. How good is Tennessee if we know that?
Playoffs. It's a playoff team. Yep. Mm-hmm. It is a playoff team. I think a lot of this does hinge on Aguilar. I also think a lot of this hinges on the defense. We've talked about a lot of the returning production, and you have to be a believer that Tennessee defense stays intact. There's a lot of, you know, this is not like South Carolina. This isn't Ole Miss, but they had a lot of guys going as well. And this is a team that, kind of had to rebuild at a certain spot. So we got a couple of injuries kind of lingering out there. So, if the defense stays intact and Aguilar has a top 6 season, it's a playoff team, brother.
Ooh.
Book the tickets.
All right, Cousin Trey. Shay, we always close with Cousin Trey. We actually have a couple food questions here, so
yes.
we're gonna rope Trey in here too. But before we get to the food, one last football question from Cousin All Trey. Right. All right, so there we got 2 hypotheticals here, right?
Huh?
If you could go back to before last season, so before the 2024 season, and tell yourself the following, which would be more likely? All right, so let me finish both of these, and you let me know which one would have been more likely before the 2024 season. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Nico fails to live up to Cousin Shane's expectations, and he left in disgrace to UCLA after the season. That's option 1. Or Nico failed to live up to all of Cousin Shane's expectations, but Tennessee made the college football playoff. Which one would be more believable? And it's interesting he asked that because, I'll let you answer first.
The second one. The really? Second one, making the play. Yeah, because I never thought in my mind, and the wildest, we made him so much money. I felt like this kid, his family was, it just really surprised me that it came down to that and him leaving. So I never thought he would leave. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, the point being, Shane, I think it's a great sign for Tennessee, despite all that's happened, that he didn't quite live up to the hype and they still made the playoff. That's to me, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're saying it's believable. Okay.
I had to pick one.
All right, so here's his food.
He broke my heart, I ain't gonna lie, but now he's dead to me. Dead.
All right, here's the food question, Shane. And, yes. and again, people are getting good where they're like, they'll ask us a football question and a food question. So shout out the Realist 26. I think we've already answered this one, but pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Yeah. I don't even know why you hesitated on that one. Noah Darth Ball. So he's got a food question here too.
Yeah.
For Shane, you have to get rid of one of these forever. You're never allowed to touch them. Uh-huh. Ever again, Shane. Here's your options. You got three options. Honey buns, Nutter Buddies, Nutter Buddies. I think it's
Nutter Butters.
Nutter Butters, yeah. Or oatmeal cream pies. You can never touch one ever again. Which one you get nags?
This one's actually easy. And which one do you think it is?
Honey buns.
Yeah, get out of here, honey. Get out of here. Is there cinnamon in it? Yeah. No, it's just... It's a messy situation. You know what I'm saying? Honey buns are something that you should eat at home in private. And I think my grandfather used to like heat them up in the microwave, make them even more messier and sticky. But yeah, it's one of those that you basically got to take your shirt off to enjoy. So I ain't doing that in public. So give me the other two.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a fan, but like, you know, if you go to a bakery and they have a honey bun, I mean, that's a different story. You know, like if it's, I don't know. I mean, there are really good honey buns, but not the packaged ones, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't eat them. You know what I mean, when in Rome, but you know, I did see one guy. He used to keep them up in his window. So, like, you know, you're at work. It's 1,000 degrees outside. You got them out there in your windshield. You come out for lunch, you know. And I'm saying this guy would do that. Not this guy, but I've heard. Some people do that.
All right. And then final one, Cousin Trey. Here's his food question, Shane.
Yeah.
Now, there's a little caveat to this. In this hypothetical, you're drunk. That's Cousin Shay. That's Cousin Trey saying it. So let's put us in the mindset of that we're wasted, right?
Yeah.
What fast food chain? You got a designated driver. I forgot to add that. Yes. What fast food chain are you picking and what's your order? Okay. And remember, you got to be wasted. So this could change your typical answer.
Oh, I thought you were giving me options.
No, this is totally up to you.
If I'm drunk, I go back to like nighttime, you know? So there's a few things that are probably kind of closed, you know? It's drive through. So I'm kind of narrowing it down to two staples. Actually, there's three staples that are always open. And McDonald's, you know, Hardee's, Stars, or whatever you call them, those guys, Taco Bell, Crystals.
Now you're not getting all this.
No. I'm just you're going down. Like I always think about it. Like you're going down. You're with me. You're in my brain right now. Yeah, we're going down the hallway and we're closing doors. So we're closing McDonald's. McDonald's is good, serviceable. If it's the only thing, we'll find something there. Maybe a more of a cheeseburger. You're drunk. You're not going to mess with the chicken, but I'm leaning between Taco Bell and Crystals. And to be honest with you, since Taco Bell's menu is jacked, I'm just saying it. I don't know who's in control of marketing. Old school Taco Bell would have been an easy answer. Now, give me a Crystals burger. Give me a sack full. I'm probably going to throw in a couple of those corn pups too. You know.
Wow, that is not what I thought you'd say.
Crystals? Oh, buddy, I'd wear them out.
Yeah.
They call White Castles if you ain't got them around here. But, yeah, that's what I want.
Remember growing up, I used to live across the street there in Morristown from Hardee's. So,
yeah.
I think it is still a $6 burger? Well, it's probably not anymore, but that's what they called it.
Yeah.
That would have been my go-to with a large Coke and a large fry.
I never got the Hardee's thing. They tried it. That they used to do chicken. I don't know if you remember that. They did chicken, like they were competing with KFC for a while. Yeah. That actually was pretty good. The mashed potatoes and gravy were good. The chicken was good, but they bounced that. Since then, man, if it ain't breakfast, I ain't touching Hardee's.
Okay.
That's the last resort.
Cousin Trey, you're still wasted here.
Yeah.
You're going to Waffle House. What's your order?
Oh, probably easy here. I just told you I like pancakes, but I'd get a waffle with pecans if they got it, and then the hash browns with smothered. I can't remember how you say it, but ham, cheese, and onions is what I want. Grilled onions.
Oh, gotcha. I was getting a little concerned. It sounded like a lot of carbs.
I think it's smothered, covered, and chunked is what, but I'm not sure. I just don't want mushrooms involved.
Yeah, nothing healthy.
No. Well, onions are in it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I'd get a ham and cheese omelet for sure. And probably a chocolate chip waffle. I like chocolate those.
Jeez Louise, how old are we? You get a candle put in and we sing happy birthday to you?
I would like it. All right. And then last one from Trey. You're wasted?
Yeah.
Gas station food.
Oh, dude. Nobody does better than Waggles. I don't know if you have a Waggles where you're at, but no. They're dynamite. But they're like high class. You know what I'm saying? So most likely you're going to be going to a 7-Eleven top deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take some sort of pizza, you know, that Hungry Howie's pizza that seems to be at like every gas
I've heard
station.
That's good. I've never had it.
It's not bad. Not bad. Their breakfast pizza is pretty good too. But yeah, I think if you're in that situation, you're getting that, or you're just getting something from the convenience store itself. Honey buns.
Yeah. Nowadays, all the gas stations, they got, not all of them, but a lot of them, you know, they're attached to a McDonald's or a Hardee's or something like that. You'd have to believe you'd go over there. You know what? But I've always wanted to try, Shane. I've never actually seen it. I know they got it down there in Louisiana. Chicken on a stick.
Hmm.
That's what I want to try if I'm drunk in a gas station.
What's your road snack? Like, you do stop at a gas station. We all got that two or three things, like, if we're in the mood for, you take with you on the road. Is it, what's your go-to? Because I've got a go-to if you need it sometime.
Well, no, I don't still know the name of it, but it's like those corn
nuts.
Nuts, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly one of mine. I like the ranch kind. Yeah, that's so funny, man. I didn't know you were like it. All right. Well, we are related. And Twizzlers, do you like Twizzlers by any chance? Red Twizzlers?
No, you just made fun of the chocolate chip waffle, but you'll eat that junk?
Brother, licorice has been around since the 20s. You know what I'm saying? Chocolate chip pancakes was created with the YouTube children.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, I can't touch a Twizzler these days.
No, that's probably best. Yeah.
All right. Hey, anything else? We were completely off the rails here before we go into SEC Media Days. Anything else? Let me make sure I didn't miss anything from anybody. All right, we got shout out Harrison Smith. Shane, give us $2. Boneless wings or traditional? I like boneless.
You would. I like traditional. I do. In fact, we had an argument about drums or flats. Uh-huh. And I always say, if you ask somebody that, everybody, if you're a man, you're going to say, oh, flats, man. I absolutely love flats. But deep down inside, you're like, I love those drums. If nobody else was there and there was just drums on the table, you'd be happy. I think flats are overrated.
You're not the only one I've seen this, but people have it out for boneless wings. I feel like you get more meat. There's less waste. I don't know. It's just like,
it's not boneless wings. It's just chicken breast. It's a chicken nugget is what it is.
That's my favorite part of the chicken.
Well, yeah. I mean, if that's what you want, man, you know, I mean, nobody's taking that away from you. Is it less messy and eat more convenient? Absolutely. Is it better for you? No, I like dark meat. I'm a fan of darker chicken, but I'm not going to kick a boneless wing out of bed. You know what I'm saying?
Good Lord. Okay. Yeah. I think that's a perfect place to end it, Shane. Anything else before we leave for media days here?
No. Let me ask you this on media days.
Yes, sir.
What do you think the story, like, you know, it feels like there's always like a story they're trying to get out prior to this. What do you think that is? And then what do you think we walk away from? Like, I don't think we get answers on 8 or 9 games or anything like that. But what do you think the narrative will be pushed in media days? And what do you think will come from media days?
I think it'll be, that this is the year of the quarterback, because there's a lot of quarterbacks going down there to media days. And And the ones that are going are pretty high profile. Arch Manning, Garrett Nussmeier, Lenore Sellers. Hell, even throwing Jackson Arnold is pretty, you know, high profile. I think it's going to be year of the quarterback in the SEC. I think that's going to be the takeaway. And I certainly hope it is, because it was a little bit of a down year at quarterback last year. I think we get back to being the premier conference with quarterbacks.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like it. Are you mad that not every team brought their quarterback? Because I think
they usually don't. I mean, especially if there's a quarterback competition.
Yeah, but what if there's not? You know, well, we're carrying on. That'll be a fun talk while we're down there at Media Days. But no, I'm looking forward to it. And guys, again, remember, no Sunday show. We'll be traveling. So Monday, be sure to tune in. I don't know when we're going live. It may not be 7 o'clock. It may be sooner. But obviously, you can jump on later and check that out. But we're going to give you a recap. We're going to give you so much content there at Media Days. It's going to feel like you are at Media Days. And if you are at Media Days, be sure to let us know. We'll come down and holler at you.
Yeah. And, you know, again, we don't know, but we probably should say we probably will go a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
With a live show, just for the simple fact that this is two Media Days in a row now where they have literally kicked us out, you know, or cut the power, or they want us out of there on Thursday. So we might have to go like an hour early just so that doesn't happen. You know what?
Yes. But we'll give you plenty of heads up when we're going. So look forward to seeing all of you there. And if you got any questions, I always say this, shoot it to me. You can find SEC Mike, or you can find me at Big Orange Balls on Twitter. Just shoot me a message. Say, hey, if you do get a talk to this coach or these players, this is a question. Because if I get there and it's a good question, I'll say, hey, cousin Jeez Louise asked this, and I'll get the answer for you. So I look forward to you guys being a part of the Media Days as well.
All right, Shay, so that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.